Today on Real Radio.
I think Jesus was, he was definitely a man in history.
I believe that he became a spirit, and his body turned into gases.
Jesus is Son of God.
Things that Confucius said might work for one person, whereas what Jesus taught is good for another.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, we'll be stepping a bit off the beaten path as we present to you a different format of the broadcast. Instead of hearing Pastor Jack Hibbs from the pulpit, we'll be hearing him, well, right in front of us, so to speak. Pastor Jack, thanks for taking the time to do this.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here with you.
Why are we doing this different kind of a broadcast?
Well, we're excited about the resurrection season as we approach what the world considers as Easter. We want to make sure that people get the real message out there, what it's all about. What is it that we're celebrating?
Don't people already know what that real message is?
Well, you know, a lot of people would think that that's the case, but when you look at the world around us, that's all Easter bunnies and colored eggs and all, and yet, you know, we see such a denial of Jesus Christ. We just went through that at our last Christmas, a great onslaught against Christ, and we cannot give up Jesus. If we give up the resurrection and the meaning of it, then that is our hope.
Now, you have addressed this in sermons past where it seems like clockwork. Every year, Christmas and especially Easter, Time magazine, that sort of thing, In Search of the Real Jesus.
Right.
What are some of these titles that we see?
I
don't even like them. But.
Exactly. You know, the U.S. News and World Report, History Channel, Did Jesus Really Live? Did Jesus Really Rise from the Dead? These kinds of questions. The part that I'm careful about at Calvary Chapel is to warn the people not to get their theology from NBC News or CBS or U.S. News and World Report. Remember, they're writing with a bias. Rather, go to the Bible and get the answers from the Word of God and compare what the Scripture says against what all these others are saying.
Well, when we watch the Discovery Channel, History Channel, what have you, don't they go to the Bible?
Well, if you notice those channels, and I watch those channels, and if you listen carefully, though, they really section and partition the Bible up for their own motive, for their own interpretation of Scripture, a private interpretation, which the Bible would say is not the right way to go. We need to read the Scripture in its entirety.
Yeah, how does the Scripture go? Go ahead and remind our listeners.
Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead on that third day, and of course, the disciples came, and they saw the empty tomb. And it was announced there in Scripture that the angelic host was there announcing that he had been risen from the dead. But, you know, for those who may be out there today not believing or questioning their faith, keep this in mind. The resurrection of Jesus Christ turned the Roman government on its ear. I mean, it got their attention.
How so?
And that's a very powerful thing. Well, for one thing, the Roman guards were commanded to make secure the tomb there, and it was sealed according to Scripture. And by the way, Scripture completely agrees with the practice of the Roman government of that time. It was sealed with an insignia of Roman ownership. They had priority over that tomb.
You mean history and archaeology confirmed the veracity of Scripture once
again?
You
got it, Mike. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Before the broadcast, we got a few, well, man on the street comments, as we call them. Here's the first one. Tell me, who do you think Jesus is?
I think Jesus was, he was definitely a man in history. And history definitely points to a man named Jesus that existed. More so, we should take a look at what he did. He led the people. He taught thousands. He became what I like to call a legend, right?
This is one of the great, great responses you hear a lot, is that Jesus was one of the greats. But if you consider, number one, and Mike, I think this is so powerful, there is no other religious person in the history of mankind that has had a book written about them in advance. We call it the Bible. It's all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. The book of Hebrews and Psalms chapter 40 says, "Behold, in the volume of the book it is written of me." And so from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Christ. And so people may want to view him as one of many, but the truth is he stands out beyond them all because of the prophetic word of God, and then also of the fact that Jesus is the only one to have been risen from the dead, not only risen from the dead, but in advance prophesied that he would be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be beaten and crucified, but on the third day be risen from the dead. And there's no other person throughout all of history that could ever make that claim. The Bible speaks about Jesus, no other.
Okay, here's a devil's advocate, as they say. Somebody says, well, there's no body. So isn't that an argument from silence?
Well, it's the exact opposite of what people would maybe want, is that, look, no one ever found Jesus, so how can you prove that he rose from the dead? Well, the beautiful thing, number one, is that we don't have to have an empty tomb to say, look, it's empty, he must be gone. The truth is, yes, it's an empty tomb, but remember, eyewitnesses said the tomb was empty. Everything that's written in the Gospels, and even many of the writings of the Roman government at its time, you could submit those into courtroom today, and they would stand on their legs, being viable. The tomb was empty. And somebody might say, well, the disciples wanted it to be empty to perpetuate the story. The Bible says the disciples didn't even believe. Mm-hmm. They were scared. They were hiding. They were skeptical. And so that empty tomb is not where I personally hang the hope of my salvation. I hang my hope on the fact that the Bible says that tomb was emptied. If somebody wanted to sneak in there and put some body in there today, I got to tell you, it doesn't affect my faith at all. Christ is risen from the dead according to the Scriptures.
Yes, and there's something to be said about all the eyewitnesses. So it's one thing to have an empty tomb, to not have a body. But what about doubting Thomas?
Well, exactly. And these eyewitness accounts, you've got the struggle, as you mentioned, with Thomas coming to grips that what he doubted is now standing in front of him. That was overwhelming. The fact that the Roman government had to try to suppress the fact that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. It's just overwhelming. And here's the thing about what we believe, is that our faith is founded upon fact. And I encourage everyone to really dive into that challenge, that our faith is founded upon fact. It's not some blind faith. Our God is a God of logic and of reason and of purpose.
He is the author of all of those.
He is the author of all of those.
If you just tuned in, yes, you are listening to Real Radio with Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. But of course, we're taking a walk off the beaten path, so to speak, and having a table talk with Pastor Jack, addressing Jesus, who is he? Was he a real historical figure, and so on? Because this is the time of year when all of those questions seem to rise, especially in the media. Here's another man on the street comment. Who do you believe Jesus is?
Well, Jesus is Son of God.
The Son of God. Okay, so is he God Almighty?
Yes.
Why the hesitation?
Well, it's complicated.
It's complicated. Okay.
It's complicated.
But your answer is that he is the Son of God.
He is a Son of God.
Oh, a Son of God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The term Son of God is something that I think, Mike, in the Western world, we don't quite understand unless we do some good and hard study. The Son of God is a term that's a Jewish term. It is found, obviously, in Scripture, in context, referring to Jesus Christ. When we say Son of God, we need to understand that in the Jewish understanding of the Scripture and of that statement, when you say the Son of God, as Jesus said that he was, in fact, the Son of God, the Pharisees said in response to that, "You speak blasphemies, for you, being a man, declare yourself to be God." And the Bible says in John's gospel that they picked up stones to kill him for committing blasphemy. A lot of people might say, well, I'm the Son of God, you're the Son of God, you're the daughter of God, or whatever. Listen, the truth is Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when we speak of that, he is God in flesh visiting us upon earth. And it's uniquely Jesus Christ. He is equal to the Father, equal to the Spirit, Son of God. In the Jewish culture, Son of Abraham or Son of Mike, for example, would mean in that culture that if you're speaking to the Son, That Son has just the authority, just the power, just the right, as though you were speaking to the Father. And every Jewish person in that world, even today, understands that if somebody says, I want to speak to your Father, while you're speaking to the Son, you can talk to me directly. And we don't understand that in the West. So when Jesus said, I am the Son of God, they knew exactly what he meant.
I think what you're saying is that we shouldn't, when reading Scripture, look at it through modern-day glasses, so to speak. We should look at it through first-century Jewish context.
Correct. We need to, so to speak, put the sandals on, put the robes on, and feel it and see it and know it.
Put our first-century yarmulke on, maybe?
There you go. Uh-huh.
Okay, here's another comment. Well, but what do you believe?
I believe that he's, maybe his, he became a spirit, and his body turned into gases, or he's...
Turned into gases?
Yeah, or gases, or, you know, a fog or something. He's his son, and, you know, Jesus used to be an angel, just mm-hmm. like all the other angels. He was actually Michael the Archangel before he became Jesus.
Okay, thank you very much.
There are those who want to argue that Jesus didn't physically rise from the dead, but the fact of the matter is, not only did Jesus resurrect from the dead, but the Scriptures teach us that post-resurrection, he bore the scars of his suffering. In the book of Luke, we read that there were two disciples on the road to Emmaus who didn't recognize Jesus at first in his resurrected body. The Bible tells us in the book of Zechariah that Christ is going to return to earth in the great second coming, and the Jewish people will look upon him, Christ Jesus, who was pierced, and he's obviously bearing the scars. No, the Bible makes it very clear. He physically rose from the dead, and this is the greatest thing for us today, right here, right now, is that the fact is, because Christ has risen from the dead physically, I too, all those who believe in Christ Jesus, will be raised from the dead physically. This is what is so distinctly wonderful about our hope, is that Jesus Christ is the first fruits from the dead. He paved the way, and we will follow in his footsteps. Resurrection, we will be with Christ in a glorified body, says the Scripture, forever.
Now, this individual we just heard, there was no indication. I didn't press the person, but we don't know if he maybe had a Jehovah's Witness influence or, well, even some liberal Christian, in quotes, denominations teach that Jesus rose in our hearts and that it wasn't actually a bodily resurrection. Well, if that be the case, then what's the big deal? Why did this guy make such a splash on the earth scene?
Well, exactly. And, you know, when you can say, well, Jesus rose in our hearts, metaphorically speaking, well, then that is something that should be happening to everybody.
Yeah.
Then why preach the gospel? Then why the biblical mandate to evangelize and to give what 1 Corinthians 15 says, the gospel, that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead? If it's a heartfelt feeling, then it's open to anyone's interpretation and understanding. The great thing is the Bible trumps our personal views and our feelings. Now, the fact that Christ has risen from the dead, that it was a physical event. The Scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ, whom you have now seen ascend up into heaven, will come again in like manner. And it was a physical Jesus that we see in the book of Acts rising up into the glory of heaven. And without the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have no gospel. You have no reason to read the Bible. You have no hope. Paul put it this way, we above all people are most to be pitied.
That's right, yeah. Waste of time.
Yes.
If you're just now tuning in, yes, you're listening to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. But of course, since Easter is coming up, well, we want to counterbalance all of the nonsense that you're going to be hearing. Jesus of Nazareth was an actual historical figure. Yes, he did die. Yes, he did rise from the dead. And that's what we're addressing. Pastor Jack, here's another comment. Did Jesus rise from the dead?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Okay, you believe that he fully, bodily, physically rose from the dead?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then let's back up to his death. What did his death mean? Why did he die? Did he have to die?
He died so that we wouldn't be taken captive by death, that heaven is attainable.
Heaven is attainable. Okay, did Jesus completely pay for our sins?
Well, he opened up the opportunity for heaven, so we still have to be good. We have to pay. We can work our way up, basically.
When we talk about Jesus Christ having been risen from the dead, we go back as to, first of all, why did he have to die? If he was so wonderful, if he was so great, if he was the Son of God, if it is the Lord who has visited us in flesh, why? And that why is actually the key that I hope many of our listeners today might take from our hands, Mike, today now. Mm-hmm. That key is this: Jesus came to die for one reason only, and that is that you and I were separated from God. And what separated us from God was our sins. Jesus, the innocent, came and died for Jack, the guilty. And that death on the cross, for me, is what God now applies to my credit. I could not save myself, Mike. I had no hope in this world. Paul says I was lost. I was living, but really I was dead in my sin. And so the reason why Jesus died was to free me from the penalty of sin and death. And because of that price that he has paid, that act alone warrants my absolute devotion. Because he's done that for me, it demands that I stop in this world and worship him. You can't say, well, you know, Jesus died for my sins and whatever. Well, we have to be careful, because if we don't take that to heart, we could really fall into what I've just call recreational Christianity. Mm-hmm. It's convenient. We'll do it when we get the chance.
Speak the language when somebody asks the question, much like this guy.
Know what? I got Christianese down. I feel comfortable enough to say, but you know what? Are we hearers of the word and not doers? If we really believe Jesus rose again from the dead, this is the greatest news the world has ever seen.
No kidding.
We'll ever hear. And that is true. That's why all of us who are believers need to just get the word out. And we don't have to worry about, are we saying it right? And did I sound good? Or are they listening? Truth, God's truth, has got this power of the Holy Spirit behind it. And we need to proclaim it. The result is up to the Lord. We're just called to proclaim it.
So Jesus died, but wasn't there any other way that this could have been done?
You know, that's a great question. Jesus asked that question himself. In the Garden of Gethsemane,
right.
Jesus says, Father,
if there's any way
that this cup can pass for me, but Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. If there's any other way, what other way? Jesus was saying in the Garden of Gethsemane, is there any other way man could be saved? There was no other way. How do we know? You see, Jack, how do you know that for sure? Well, because the scriptures do not contradict themselves. Look at the Old Testament. What was offered up every year for the sins of the people?
Blood.
Blood.
Yeah.
And that blood came from a little lamb. And what is Jesus called? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John the Baptist said. And so, you know, we rejoice in that fact.
Okay, this I was saving, shall we say, best for last. We did run into a few believers on the street, and this guy seemed to be pretty well dialed in. Listen.
What do you believe about Jesus?
He's the Son of God, and basically, specifically that having to do with Easter is he rose on the third day.
He rose after doing what?
Dying. First, he was put upon a cross and crucified, and then he was buried in a tomb with a, I don't think the Bible's specific, but it says large stone or large boulder, and five guys rolled in front of the tomb so that no one could go in or out. And then when Jesus, after he had died, one of the angels was in there and said that he had risen and that he wasn't there.
So do you believe that he rose physically, bodily?
Yes.
Well, why did he die?
For our sins.
So does that mean everybody gets to go to heaven?
Only those that accept the fact that he died for them. If he didn't die, we would be forever separated from God because of way back when Adam and Eve had sinned that first time. So that's how it relates to not only me, but everybody.
You know, I'm blessed by his response. A couple of years ago now, Mel Gibson put out this epic movie, The Passion, and it graphically portrayed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And I received a phone call from some friends in Amman, Jordan, who are missionaries there, and they said that there were Muslims hanging out of, physically hanging out of the theaters, trying to get in to see The Passion of the Christ, because what overwhelmed them was the message that God loved us, that God cared, that Jesus Christ came. Now, in many parts of the world, that story, that truth, the Bible's forbidden for them to hear. When you understand, when you come to hear, as this young man says here, that Jesus died for his sins, this is the greatest news ever, because all my guilt might can be taken away. All of my past that I have erred and sinned and was offensive to God, that can be now changed. It's only through Christianity that I'm offered a restart in life. I can begin life all over again. And I think of so many times I speak to young people at conferences and retreats who may have lost their virginity. Maybe they've given up hope or they caved into the pressures.
Yeah.
Mike, I'm telling you, to be able to look into the eyes of hundreds of kids, and especially the young ladies, and to say you can start all over again tonight by giving your heart to Jesus, being forgiven of your sins, and you can start fresh today. It's interesting to me that so many young people respond to that invitation because they understand there's guilt on them. Yeah. They feel the pressure.
They're grasping the sin problem.
Exactly. Something's wrong. I don't feel right. I crossed a line and I've never felt the same since. And I know how that is. I came to know Jesus Christ when I was 19 years old and I needed him. And no one had to convince me that I needed Jesus. I knew it. Hmm. And so to experience that release of guilt, am I a sinner? Yes. Does Jack still sin today? Yes, but here's the difference. I don't want to.
Right.
I don't plan on it. And when I do, I know that I have Jesus Christ, my advocate, my Lord and Savior, to forgive me. For he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
It's a great promise if you're a believer.
It's the best.
We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in somewhat of a different context. Instead of hearing him from the pulpit, we're having a little table talk right here in his office, as a matter of fact. Pastor Jack, we want to thank you very much for taking the time to do this.
Mike, I want to thank you, and I just hope that everybody's being blessed by Real Radio, and we hope that they go to a Bible teaching church this Resurrection Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Let's do this again sometime soon.
I'd love that.
Okay, well, of course, we're coming into the end of the broadcast now, so just to wrap up a few details, Resurrection Sunday, also known as Easter Sunday, is coming up this weekend, of course. And so we extend that invitation for you to join us here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills here in Southern California, if you live in the area. And we're only going to be having one service here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. That gets underway at 9 a.m. We're going to have quite a celebration for the resurrected Redeemer. And of course, many of you are going to sunrise service. So again, we're only going to be having one service, and that gets underway at 9 a.m. here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. For more information, you can log on to realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you'll be able to link over to calvaryCCH.org and find out more. If you'd like to get in touch with us by telephone, here's our number, 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. And of course, you can always find that information on www.realradioactive.org. We're located at 4201 Eucalyptus Avenue in Chino. Here in Southern California, zip code 91710. Again, 4201 Eucalyptus Avenue. But of course, you can find out more information and directions online. Remember that Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is a missionary outreach of Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. And when you contribute financially, you are actually a team member in helping to get the word out across the globe. We're on several radio stations and, of course, can also be heard online. You can either send in a one-time gift or become a regular contributor. Our mailing address is Real Radio, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, if you missed any of this information, just pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible
by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial participation. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.